I'm just going to pray before we start. God, thank you so much for everything that this day represents. And God, not just for the day, but for that it means and it helps us just to focus on what you did for us and what Jesus did on the cross. And God, I just pray that every day that we would remember that, God, not just on Easter, and that you would really speak to us tonight, God. Speak to us through your words, speak through me, God, and really have your way tonight, God. And just lift this time that we have together up to you, God, and just pray that you would bless it, that you would speak, and that you would do something significant. Amen. Great. Who's been enjoying their Easter? Who's been less than enjoying their Easter? Feeling much better today, but I must say I didn't partake in any of the fondue or the other things that were happening at our house. I spent most of the day lying on the lounge, but that's okay. It's all good now, and I'm sure people who have caught the bug know what I'm talking about. But anyway, it's all good. We're over it for the most part. Most people are. Anyway, so it's Easter Sunday. Woo! Holidays, chocolate, all that stuff is great. Anybody else enjoying that we've got 5 days of a weekend? That's really cool. But everybody, you all know, and you've heard it so many times before, that is not the point, you know. That's not what it's all about. That's not, like, the reason. It's not like people just decided we should have a holiday because, you know, other than that, we just work so hard because, you know, that's not true. You know that is not why we have an Easter weekend, yeah? It's about Jesus. It's about what he did for us, and it's about what that means for our lives, yeah? It's about why that matters to me and why that matters to you, what that does in you. It's about the cross. It's about Jesus. Amen? So that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the cross and just what it means, yeah? Because symbols, like, I think they're a big part of life. And in my, like, day job during the week, I'm a graphic designer. And so part of that job is designing people's logos. And so I spend a bit of time thinking about symbols and what they mean. And the aim of kind of a logo is to design something that is recognizable without having to, like, explain it or use words. So I've got a couple, if the guys will put the first one up. Everyone kind of knows what that means without it actually saying it. The next one, yeah, everyone knows kind of what that means. You don't need the word there to get the point. But then the next one is the cross. So my question tonight is, what does the cross mean? Because it's this powerful symbol, and today, like in our world, it's a symbol that represents Christianity. It represents faith. It represents, to some people, the Western world. It represents, like, that Western Christianized society. It has, like, there are a lot of things attached to this symbol, yeah? Everybody with me on that? And it's this powerful thing. People, like, regardless of whether they actually follow Jesus, will wear it around their neck. Like, people will look at it. People will see symbols of that everywhere. Like, in our world today, whether you are a Christian or not, you will see a symbol of a cross somewhere quite regularly. Yeah, you just have to drive down the street, basically. So what does it mean? What does that mean? What does the cross mean for me? And what does the cross mean for you? Because did you know that the cross didn't always symbolize Christianity? I was thinking about this week, and when Jesus was alive, before Jesus died on the cross represented something very different. The cross was actually a symbol of death and punishment. The cross was actually the cruelest way that you could murder, you could kill somebody, you could execute somebody, yeah? So the cross was this symbol of death, and it was this symbol of the power of the Roman Empire, because the Romans, they went on, and if you know a little bit of your ancient history, they overtook pretty much all of the then known world, and they had total control over everything, and the cross was what they decided to use to punish people that had done the wrong thing. And so this cross would become a symbol. And if somebody saw the cross, then they wouldn't be like, wow, that's about Jesus. They would be like, there would be fear, yeah? There would be this fear of death, because the cross was this symbol of the worst way you could possibly die. And it was this symbol of a violent, painful death and the power of death, yeah? But what I'm amazed about is that to the Romans, to people of that time, the cross represented the power of death, but to us today it represents the power over death because of what Jesus did. How awesome is that? And how did that change? Yeah, how did that happen? Because that's an incredible thing. That happened because of Jesus, amen? And that's what I want to talk about tonight, because I believe so strongly that Jesus has the power to change things in your life. And that you could look at things in your life and see death and negativity and hardship and all this stuff. But Jesus has the power to turn that upside down, to turn that around. And if he can turn a cross into a symbol of life and hope and grace and forgiveness, then he can do that in my life. He can do that in your life. Amen. So let's have a look. Matthew 27. If you've got a Bible, turn there with me, because I'm going to, you know, we're going to hit a bit of this now. And in Matthew 27, you find the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. And so if you don't have it with you now, or you don't have time to read the whole thing now, go home and read it again. And so basically what's happened is Jesus has been, he's been arrested, he's been questioned, he's been tortured, and then he's been put up on this cross. And I'm trying to remember where I said I would read from. I'm just going to... From verse 45, we read, this is just before Jesus dies, and so he's on the cross. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. That's strange, yeah? That doesn't normally happen in my world. It says, at about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. I'm not going to try it. It's in Hebrew here, but I'll read the English bit. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because this is the point where Jesus felt separation from God for the first time ever, where he felt the weight of our sin and he felt separate from God. He's like, God, where are you? Has anybody asked that question before? It says some of the people around him heard him say it, and they say he's calling Elijah. So they went and they got him something to drink, and it says, in verse 50, then Jesus cried out again in a loud voice. He gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him regarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. I'm interested that there was this guy there, this centurion at Jesus' death, who as a Roman centurion would have seen a lot of executions on a cross, because that's what they did, yeah? And so he's seen so many people die on that cross. But when Jesus dies on that cross, he says, surely that was the Son of God. Because there was something in the way that Jesus died, and maybe it was the earthquake and the darkness, like everything kind of going crazy around it, something to do with that. Or maybe it was that Jesus gave up his spirit. But there was something there for this guy that he thought, surely this was not just another person that died on a cross because they had done something wrong. You know, Jesus was crucified next to two, like a murderer and a thief. Like there were people who normally got crucified with people who had committed a crime. But Jesus hadn't done anything wrong at all. And he dies, and this Roman centurion says, surely that was the Son of God, because he sees something in Jesus. Amen. And then again in John, we read the same story. In fact, you can read it in all the Gospels. But in John 19... I like this because it says in verse 30, John 19, so Jesus received a drink and then he said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And I think it's really crazy that Jesus didn't just die because he got like nailed to a cross and he got beaten up and he got tortured. He died because he chose to. Like nobody else can do that. You can't do that. Nobody can do that. Only Jesus can do that. And Jesus took the cross and he turned it all around. And he changed it from this symbol of death to this symbol of life. And he turned around, like, it's because it's not just about like a symbol. It's not just about an icon, but it's about your life. and about how Jesus took death that was meant for you and turned it into life. Jesus took something that was supposed to be the end and made it the beginning for you and me, yeah? He totally turned it upside down. And it's not about like a symbol that now we can use on churches, yeah? But it's about your life. It's about my life. It's about what Jesus did, and it represents what Jesus did for you and for me, amen? So my question tonight, and please take this as a personal question. What does the cross mean to you? Because we can say, like, you could say really, like, quickly, what does the cross mean? Oh, it's Christianity. It's Jesus. But what does it mean to you, personally, really, in your heart? What does what Jesus did on the cross mean for your life? Amen? Because I think there's two things here, and there's two realities that we need to face in this, yeah? The first one is the cross can mean sin and judgment. Just like the Romans, the cross meant death. It meant punishment for sin, yeah? And that's where we are without Jesus. All of us, like, we are all supposed to be punished for our sins. Like, every single one of us has done something wrong that is deserving of punishment, yeah? Like, if you think you haven't, then you have just in thinking that. So, like, maybe you haven't done something really, really bad, but all of us know that we're not perfect. All of us know that we've done wrong things before. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? So no matter how good you are, you've fallen short. And I was thinking about fallen short and why Paul uses those words, because it's this picture to me of trying really, really hard, but not quite making it. And fallen short means like, I'm going to try, it's like there's this gap, like I'm going to try and jump onto the front row. I'm not. It's a good thing, Mum's pleased. There's an empty seat there between Dad and Ben. I reckon I could do it. Then we'd see a picture of fallen short, I'm sure. Fallen short is yeah. Fallen short is trying as hard as you can but not making it. Fallen short is trying to do all of the right things in your own strength but not being good enough. And we will never be good enough, yeah? And so this could have been the story of the cross if it wasn't for Jesus. Like, if it wasn't for Jesus, the cross still today could have represented death just like a hangman's noose or an electric chair or a guillotine. It could have been exactly the same, yeah? If it wasn't for Jesus, then that's the story. And the story is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And not one of us on our own could make it into a relationship with God. Not one of us on our own has what it takes to stand before God and say, yep, yeah, God, I'm perfect. I'm here. I'm ready for eternity with you. Because none of us can say that. None of us can come and say to God, I'm good enough. Yeah? You're never good enough. That's what this cross represented to so many people of the time. It was the end. It was the end of the story. But for us, it's not the end of the story. And if we read on in Romans, trying to get my little bookmark. It says this in verse 24, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It says, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, but all of us are justified, are redeemed by Christ Jesus. And so that means that instead of like representing sin and judgment, the cross represents life for us, because we don't have to try and make it on our own, yeah? Jesus died when he didn't deserve it, so that we didn't have to die, even though we do deserve it. That's the reality, yeah? So for me, I look at that and I think, well, by myself I've fallen short, but with Jesus I'm justified freely. Because there's still justice. There still had to be justice, but Jesus took that punishment for us so that we would not have to die. And that's the message. That's the message. That's what the cross means. That's what Easter means. That's what the Christian faith means. That's what it's all about. Amen. And so the cross doesn't have to represent sin and judgment. The cross represents life and love, yeah? In Romans 6, verse 23, it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? It says that the price that we need to pay for everything that we've done wrong is death. Okay? But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The free, undeserved, unmerited gift of God is life. How incredible is that, yeah? Jesus died as this totally free gift for us. Jesus died like there wasn't anything that we had done to deserve that at all, but he died for as a free gift for you and for me, and he transformed everything. He changed everything, yeah, and he took this symbol of judgment and made it a symbol of grace. This symbol of death and made it a symbol of life. This symbol of sin and condemnation and made it a symbol of love and mercy. That's the power of it, yeah? This is what the cross means. It doesn't just, like, it's not just a nice idea or something that you wear or that you think about every now and then, but it means that Christ died for me, and now he lives in me, and I live for him. And that's the reality of it, and that's a really simple message, and I hope it is, but I hope that you don't, like, just walk away thinking, continuing to think that it's a nice idea. Like, we set up, like, that the milk crate cross at the back, and it's not just because, like, we thought it looked nice, or we thought that, you know, we didn't have enough fire hazards, and we wanted something extra for people to worry about, but because I want you to look at something like that, look at that, look at the screen, look at whatever, but get that picture and make it not just about a symbol or a nice idea, but think, what does that mean to me? What does that mean in my life? Yeah, what does the cross and Jesus' death on the cross mean for me? Because for me personally in my life, it means that I don't have to be bound by the stuff that I've done wrong. I know that by myself, I've sinned and I've fallen short. But because of Jesus and because of what he did for me on the cross, I don't have to live out of that. I can live in total freedom. I can have the gift of God, of eternal life, relationship with him, the best, most fulfilled life I can have here on earth and for eternity. I love what Dad said this morning about life to the full, not just being about getting all the stuff that we think is important. Life to the full is living a life that glorifies God and living a life that follows God and living a life that is led by God. And that's what it means to follow Christ. And so I just want you to think about it, and that's basically all I've got tonight. But just to think about what the cross means to you personally, and I hope you take it personally. Because, like, that's what it's about and that's what we're about and that's what it's all about. So you can't come in and sit down and think that it's just a nice idea. But it's a real story about a real person, Jesus, who as the Son of God came and he lived and he died for us and he beat death. You know, and further on in Matthew, it says like they bury Jesus and it comes to Sunday, like today. It says that after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. It says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I just think we don't read the Bible like expressively enough. I don't know if anybody else uses YouVersion on their phone, but there's just been an update. Now it's got the audio Bible, and I had a quick listen, and it's lame. And I don't like audio Bibles because they just sound funny. But how incredible is this, yeah? He says there's this giant earthquake, and then this angel comes down from heaven, and then he pushes this big stone away, and he sits on it. He says his appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Then he says to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen just as he said. Amen? That's the message of the cross. Jesus isn't dead. He's not on the cross anymore. He's risen. He's not there, just like he said he wouldn't be there. Amen? I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. God, we thank you for Jesus and that he died on the cross for us, but God, that he didn't stay there, he didn't get stuck there, but that he defeated death, that he has power over death, God, and that he is risen. God, that he is not just a good guy that had some good ideas and then died, but that he is alive today, God, and that he lives in me, that he lives in us, and that he wants to live in every single person. God, thank you that you give that to us as a free gift, totally undeserved. Maybe everyone could just stand with me tonight. We'll just pray together. God, I thank you so much for every person here. And that you didn't just die for me or for a few people, but for every single person. And God, I pray that you would just be speaking into our hearts right now. Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you are far away from God and you know it. And you know that, like, when you look at the cross, you just think of it as this symbol of Christianity rather than a reality. And I want to invite you tonight to change the way you see the cross and to have a relationship with the living God. You know, Jesus is the only person ever to be able to say that they were dead. And they're not anymore. Like, not many people can claim that. But Jesus says, I was dead and now I'm alive. And because of that, you can be alive too. So if you want to start a relationship with God tonight, you want Jesus in your heart, then we want to pray with you. I want to pray with you and I want to give you an opportunity to accept that. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand or to come out or anything because, you know, you need to do it and it needs to be real for you. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer together, and if you're serious about it, then you talk to the person that brought you. You know, you need to be able to stand up and you need to go to someone and say, yeah, this is what I declared today. Today I got saved. I got rescued by God. I accepted the incredible gift that Jesus gave me, and talk to them and they will help you live that out. Because a life, like being a Christian, is not just about making a decision. It's about following Christ with your life. So we're just going to pray. They're going to put this prayer up on the screen. We're just going to pray this together. And if this is the first time you've ever prayed it, or you really mean it and you're praying it fresh tonight, then talk to somebody about it. Talk to your friend. Talk to one of the hosts and they'll help you out with that. So we need that on the screen, guys. Thanks. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen.